Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 28th, I believe, Cosmic Navigator show on the third season. And we're heading towards an interesting week. So first of all, let's start off with what is going on this week. So as you can see, I'm still having to record this videos. I guess I thought I was recording. Yeah, because I still can't do live Instagram. If anybody works with Meta or lives with somebody that works with Meta, maybe you can direct them my way. It's been 3 weeks and they can't fix the glitch, some kind of glitch at live. So anyway, we're going to do it recording and then I'm going to post it on Instagram so you guys can also have it as a record. And what we are going to talk about this week, yes, so we have this week very, very special because we have an eclipse happening next week on Monday, but we definitely have this week to prepare for it. We have entered the shadow of Mercury retrograde, so this is the pre-retrograde shadow. Mercury is going to be in Aries as he retrogrades back and forth. Right now, he's kind of in the middle of Aries. He's going to go all the way to the beginning of Mercury in Aries and then goes all the way back. So we're going to have Mercury for almost 2 months in Aries. Mercury is okay with being at Aries. The only thing is that it makes us say things and then think about it. So it's almost as if everything is reversed. We say things first and then we think, instead of first come thought, then come words. You know, even in the tarot card, first we have the Fool, the Joker, which represents the thought of God. Then we have Mercury, the word of God. So Mercury is associated in Kabbalah with the letter Bet, which is the house. The Fool, the thought, is connected to Aleph, Avil, Alif, Alpha. So what happened is that the thought has to be housed by the word in order to push forward for the Joker, the Fool, to continue his journey. Same thing with Mercury in Aries. The only thing is that it's reversed when it's especially retrograde. What's happening is that we first have the word and then we said, oh, wait, what did I just say? So just be aware of that, especially around the eclipses, March 24, next Monday, and April 8. So this week also, we have in 3 days the equinox, which is a pretty powerful day. It is considered to be actually the most important day of the year. It was the Sumerian New Year, the Babylonian New Year, and we'll talk a little bit about the draconic chart today because it's a great time to look at your draconic chart. Dracon coming from dragon, coming from the dragon, because it's the north node returning back to 0 degrees Aries. So again, the 0 degrees Aries is auspicious time. It is basically the beginning of the celebration of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. The barley is out. We survived winter. We managed to get out of Egypt, out of the constraint, out of the slavery of being hibernated and cold. And we're ready to jump into action with Aries. So Aries always been the liberator. Basically the Messiah, in a sense. Think about Neo, think about Moses, who was an Aries, or Muhammad, who was an Aries, and Christ was an Aries. So the tendency of Aries, which we're going to start in 3 days, is to put seeds in the ground and be too impatient and hyper to wait for them to sprout. So you leave it off to Taurus and Gemini and the rest of the sign to look for it. Aries is off planting something new. That's what you're going to be like in the next 30 days, because we're all going to become Aries. So Aries are stuck with being an Aries all their life. All the rest of us have 30 days every year where we have to be Aries, and it happened to start in the most auspicious day of the year. That's basically the birthday that is the origin, you can say, of the barley holidays, of course, the celebration of barley, which gave birth to Passover and later on to Easter. So March 17, today, Sunday, we have the perfect conjunction of the Sun and Neptune. Great energy, because the Sun on top of Neptune is Pisces, basically, because always when the Sun passes over any planet, you can look at what planet, what sign that planet rules, and whatever that planet is, whatever the sign it rules, that's kind of the Sun energy right now. So let's say that the Sun is on top of Mercury. Mercury is the ruler of Virgo or Gemini. So when the Sun passes off Mercury, which is going to happen in a week or so, then we all become for a day a Mercury and a Gemini. If the sun moves over Venus, we all going to become a Taurus or a Libra for that day, 2 days, depends how long the conjunction is. So when Neptune, the ruler of Pisces, is on the sun, we are all Piscean today. So spend time by water, meditate longer if you can, dance, do anything that is related to dreams, poetry, empathy, mysticism. Great for that, because today the sun is on top of Neptune. This happens once a year. But like I said, as long as Neptune is in Pisces, which is going to be just one more year, we're going to have that conjunction of Neptune and the sun, so powerful. So this is probably the last conjunction. Maybe you're going to have one next year, and that's it for 165 years. So you always wanted to dive deeper into your meditation, start yoga, look into Dream Quest, which we talked about quite a lot. It's in my 2024 book. Today is the day to do that, today and tomorrow, actually. So the greatest thing about today is the Neptunian conjunction. Your dreams, intuition is taken to the next level. And it's especially true because the moon shifted into Cancer, which is a medium sign. So today and tomorrow, it's very, very about mysticism, intuition, mothering, parenting. Everything has to do with finding your sensitivity, your connection to your emotions, in a sense, especially because Venus and Saturn are also in Pisces, which is a water sign. So we definitely are very watery in the next 2 days. Sunday, Monday, we're all dipping our legs in the water. And that means compassion, emotions, overrides logic and intellect, especially when Mercury is in charge of these things. He's too busy sparring and fighting and arguing and trying to debate, because he's in Aries, which is very competitive, and he's in the shadow already. So he's doing everything in the shadow. Let's move to tomorrow, when we are talking about March 18. It's a Monday. The sun passes away from Neptune, so the conjunction is fading. It's not as powerful, but still, we have really nice energy tomorrow as well in Pisces. We have 40% of the chart in Pisces, and then the moon supports the water flow being in Cancer, and that's something that gives us 50% of our existence in water. So usually it's supposed to be around 25. So it's great energy for spending time with family members, real estate, anything that has to do with finding your connection to security, to your home, to your family, to, like I said, lots, real estate. And think also about your epigenetics, you know, genetics, epigenetics, all of those things that come back down the generations. Again, this is a great time to look into. Sunday, the March 17th, Monday, March 18, and a little bit of March 19 as well. So the first part of the week is very concerning, emotional, sensitive, very connected basically to your heart more than anything else. So that's going on March 18, Monday, the day of the moon, and the moon will be spending a great time in Cancer. Now, Mars is going to get the edge of Aquarius. So Mars is still in Aquarius, which means that it's easier for you to fight for your company or to your friends than necessarily for yourself. So there's something altruistic about that Mars being in Aquarius. It's sending a beautiful line to Vesta, the goddess of the hearth. So if you can connect, let's say, to some activity, Mars, that has to do with tradition or things that you've done in the past, maybe it's kind of a hobby or something that you used to do physically in the past that you can bring back into your life in the next few days, as long as Mars is in Aquarius. And Mars is going to shift very closely as the sun moves out of Pisces. Funny enough, Mars is moving into Pisces. Besides that, we said Mercury is conjuncting the North Node. That's going to be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's really good energy to identify memories, skills, solutions, friends, locations, people, talents that you might have had in a past lifetime. Remember, North Node, South Node always represents past lives and future lives. So the South Node, things you've done in the past. North Node, how you can drive your karma into where you need to be, so you can override karma or you can pay off for some of your debts. So when Mercury is on top of the North Node once a year approximately, it's actually really good because it talks about messages coming down, maybe from past lifetime, skills from past lifetimes, or anything that you've accumulated that you can actually use in this life. So that's going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when Mercury in Aries is going to be on top of the North Node and then on top of Chiron. Next, we have March 19. And on March 19, it's a Tuesday. We have, the sun is going to be, of course, on the last day of Pisces. It is not only the last day of Pisces, it is the last day of the last sign of the astrological year. Therefore, on Wednesday, we are all going to celebrate a new year. And that's why I told you that also on Wednesday, it is a day where you can reboot your New Year resolution. If you're not happy with it, if you slacked, if you forgot what it was, if you never started it, a great time. Yes, Mercury is in the shadow, but still, it's not retrograde. Mercury literally on Tuesday and Wednesday is on top of the North Node. It's very, very auspicious. It's basically being able to get messages that can really help you drive. It's almost like getting your GPS starting to talk to you. Please turn left, turn right, go straight. You know, you reach your destination. So there is something about direction that is given to us on Tuesdays and Wednesday. So in Tuesday and Wednesday, the day of Mars and the day of Mercury, while Mercury is in Aries, ruled by Mars, and stepping on top of the North Node, which is the point of karma or good karma, and very close to Chiron, it just brings you an ability to really get direction towards finding your true identity and wearing the true clothes that you have to, being authentic and fighting for what you think is right and what is yours, with words more than with Mars, which is more hitting people. So yes, we have a little bit of a square on Tuesday between Mercury and the Moon, because actually it's not going to be so strong. It's more strong in Monday between logic and emotions. But on Tuesday, we basically have that beautiful conjunction. And also Jupiter is getting closer and closer to conjunct Uranus, which is going to happen more next week. But still, this is a really good situation because we have a lot of planets that are applying their conjunction. They're like foreplay with each other. It's not really the wham bang thank you ma'am, it's just that moment before is that the planets are starting to mingle their archetypes. And when you have like these flashes of Jupiter, for example, and then chaos from Uranus, and then some order from Jupiter. Jupiter is the king of orders. And then the disruptive energy of Uranus, and then Jupiter wants everything to be according to where it needs to go, and Uranus, which wants to find new path. That energy is coming up together right now, and it's going to be peaking in April. But this definitely, you're starting to feel it. 6 degrees apart, Jupiter and Uranus are very, very tight. So again, very strong energy of a conjunction between the planet of expansion and opportunities and the planet of communities, people, technology, innovation, companies, and governments, and thinking outside of the box. We're going to have quite a lot of discoveries that are they going to be initiated in this period right now or revealed already. Especially with technology innovation, I really think that there's going to be something going on. Now, by the way, in relation to Bitcoin, it can definitely explain the biggest rallies ever happened way before the halving, because Jupiter is conjuncting with Uranus. Uranus is technology, innovation, crypto or anything to do with cyberspace. And Jupiter is, of course, expansion, abundance, and Taurus is the bull market. So no wonder Bitcoin is basically skyrocketing with even before the halving. So the halving, I think, is in April 20th, right at the first day of Taurus, which is kind of funny because Taurus, again, is the sign of money. And we have once in 84 years Uranus in Taurus. So that's definitely a part of it. So Tuesday, a very interesting day, the last day of Pisces. So this is your day of completing things, things you don't want to pass or bring over to the next year. And I'm talking about the next astrological year, which is much more important than April, than January 1st. So whatever you want to get rid of, maybe you can do a very long meditation on Tuesday and really figure out what you don't want to bring with you to the next astrological year, to Aries, because Aries doesn't deal with things that happen in the past. Pisces, definitely, it's all assimilating everything. You know, Pisces is sleeping, Pisces is dreaming, Pisces meditation, reflection. These are the things you do at night, at the end of the day. Even they say that that the owl of Minerva spreads her wings at eventide, which basically means that we get a lot of wisdom post-action, in retrospective. So we have all the day to live our life, and then Pisces come at the end to help us process things through dreams, rest at sleep, and reflect through meditation, all things that are ruled by Pisces. So again, on Tuesday, March 19, really dedicate the time to reflect and to end something so that you can begin something new on Wednesday, March 20th. So if we move to March 20th, a few things are happening. We're moving into fire because we're going to have the sun moving to Aries for 30 days. So from March 20th until the halving of Bitcoin on April 20th, we are all going to be Aries, all about action, movement, making things happen, being assertive, knowing what you want. And being an Aries right now for the next 30 days is really important because the North Node, which is what we're supposed to learn this year, is in Aries. So it's like, you're being told to learn a language and then you're giving scholarship to the best language school around you. So you have to just go there and do your work. So the same thing. We are supposed to learn to be in Aries from July 2023 to January 2025. Therefore, this is the only time we actually have an Aries time or Aries period during the time of the North Node in Aries, once in 19 years, that we're supposed to learn to be in Aries. So it's almost like you're fitting. You're now wearing the red clothes of Aries and they're trying to see the weight, if the size is right, if it feels good. You're now being fitted with an Aries for 30 days that will last for 19 years. So pay attention. And especially Aries is all about leadership, initiation. I am your identity, your brand, your image, your body mainly, how you lead people and how you wake up. Literally, what is your morning routine? Maybe while you're in Aries, you can really do something to fix your morning routine because Aries rules the first hours after dawn, which symbolically speaking, the alarm clock, waking up. The moon is also going to be in Leo. Great for our equinox celebration. Moon in Leo is the fixed fire sign. Aries is the match, the one that turns on the fire sign. Great energy. So that's really beautiful. That's why we have such a strong, beautiful trine between the moon and the sun. And the moon is also sending a beautiful trine to Minerva, the goddess of just war or the goddess of wisdom. So we have the sun in Aries, Mercury in Aries, Minerva in Sagittarius, the moon in Leo. We're definitely shifting from Tuesday to Wednesday, from wet to dry, from water to fire. So that's going to be really good and begins your month of liberation. That's basically Aries is the month of liberation. And of course, in Aries, we're supposed to celebrate Passover, Easter. We'll see that this year is a little bit different because of the leap year. Then on Thursday, we have the moon still in Leo. Very good for love, happiness, creativity, hanging out with your kids, having fun and just enjoying yourself. The moon is sending a beautiful energy to the South Node and the North Node from a family member or maybe from a woman healer. You'll be able to access your Akashic record or get a memory of past life, not only because Mercury is still very close to the North Node and Chiron, but it's allowing you to heal old wounds. There's a lot of connection to shamanism, to teaching, to learning. It's a very powerful day of fire, of action. So the first day of the astrological year, March 21, do something, be active, do something that symbolizes leadership, a jump into action, doing something new. Venus is still exalted in Pisces. Great for us. It's great for finance. The only thing is that she's a little bit opposite to the black moon. Saturn is opposite to the black moon. That can create some gossip, some issues with enemies, hidden enemies. Just make sure you don't gossip on anybody or say any bad things about anyone Thursday and Friday this week. Besides that, Jupiter is getting closer and closer to Uranus. Again, rallying the energy upward. And Mars is going to be in the last few days on Aquarius before he also moves into Pisces. Let's move now into Friday and the weekend, March 22nd. On Friday, we have, what do we have on Friday? We have the moon moving into Virgo. So this weekend is going to be colored by green, Venus in Virgo. Spend some time in nature if you can, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Even though moon in Virgo is very much about good energy for work. So if you bring some work on the weekend, you'll probably finish it much faster. But this weekend is actually very good for a cleanse. If you can find a closet that's been unruly or some place that you haven't looked into the situation of cleanliness there, great time. So the moon in Virgo, great for a cleanse of your house, of your office, of your car, great for washing things, cleaning things, planting things. We're already in spring in the northern hemisphere. Even in the southern hemisphere, you can still plant stuff in the fall. But definitely, it's a great time for planting. For anything that planting could be planting, symbolically speaking, or physically in the ground. And anything to do with work, health, or service, even in this weekend, maybe you can spend a little bit of time serving, maybe serving your husband, serving your wife, serving your kids. It doesn't have to be going volunteering, but something good with service. It's almost as if you have to practice being Mary Poppins. And the thing about this weekend is the moon is going to be touching and passing by the black moon. There could be some visitation from somebody that you really don't want to see, or an incident that could be a little bit unkind or miserable. You know, it's imagine Aries, the goddess of war or the goddess of strife, coming to knock on your door this weekend. And also, we're going to have the moon opposite to Venus. There could be some clashes this weekend between your lover or your partner and your family or within the family. It's going to be a little bit tricky because the moon is going to be opposite to all of these planets in Pisces. That being said, it's the last day of Mars in Aquarius. So again, anything that you need to complete with the community, with groups, with friends, with technology, you always wanted to buy your computer, just do it now before Mercury is retrograde. Remember, Mercury goes stationary April 1st, so we don't have that much time. And now, in the next few days, look at whatever mishaps or miscalculation or glitches or anything that is difficult with Mercury or with coordination. It could be reflective that that is the sign of what you might have to deal with coming Mercury retrograde in Aries from April 1st to April 26th. So definitely pay attention to any issues. It's not Mercury retrograde yet, but it can show you where the sphere of influence will be during the Mercury retrograde, and you can prepare for it. It's almost like you're now getting some kind of a vaccine. So it gives you a little bit of this Mercury retrograde in Aries. So when the Mercury in Aries really comes in, you have more abilities to deal with it. So again, pay attention. Maybe it's glitches in computer. Maybe it's I'm always late. Maybe everybody's screaming at me. Okay, whatever it is, you'll know that this is where Mercury is going to be affecting you, let's say, as it retrogrades April 1st, April 26th. The moon in Virgo, again, very good for service, very good for cleansing, very good for healing. When we look at Saturday, March 23rd, we have the moon conjunct the black moon. So again, you're doing something on Saturday. Don't invite somebody who you're not really sure is on your side, just to avoid any kind of conflict. Then again, you don't invite them, that might create a conflict. Okay, you know, that's the beginning of Sleeping Beauty. So you can see what happened after. But the idea is that Black Moon is going to be very active this weekend. Just pay attention. And again, if you're following the news, definitely there's going to be some bloodshed or some issues during this weekend. There's going to be some kind of changes. Now, my hope is because the Black Moon and the Light Moon are in the chart of Hamas, they're one on top of each other. That's why we talked about all the negativity and the darkness that exists in that organization. Maybe there will be some moving forward in relation to the situation in Gaza. But it could also turn the other way around, again, because of the opposition of the moon and Venus, and because of the moon being on top of the black moon. That being said, Mars is moving into Pisces. That's it. Saturday, Mars moves into Pisces, and is going to be there for almost a month and a half, 2 months. And that is not easy. I mean, Mars in Pisces, I always see Mars in Pisces as a Navy SEAL or the commando or somebody who is a martial artist, because Pisces is all about movement and dance, or something like capoeira, which is half dance, half martial arts. Mars in Pisces, it could be a surfer, a sailor, a skier, anybody that does action, Mars, on top of water, frozen or otherwise. You know. So we have Saturn in Pisces, Venus in Pisces, Neptune in Pisces, Mars in Pisces. We have quite a lot of Pisces, even though the Sun abandoned Pisces and moved into Aries. And the fact that we have on this weekend so many Pisces and anchored by opposite the Moon in Virgo, it's not too bad, because what it creates is what we call a bucket formation. We have all the planets here in Pisces, and under that on the handle is the Moon. So the Moon is holding that bucket of Pisces, and literally it's a bucket of water, full of water, full of fish and water probably. So it's not so bad because the moon kind of balances all that free-flowing, wishy-washy kind of Pisces energy and galvanizes it, crystallizes it. But because Pisces is about deception, illusions, just be a little bit careful with these aspects. So, you know, it's a far Saturday. Hopefully you're not signing anything too important. I would be a little bit careful of signing anything on this weekend or initiating too many projects. But just because of the black moon on top of the moon, you know, the black moon, Lilith from the mythology, she used to snatch little babies. You know, the cradle death was attributed to her. So I don't want you to have a new project, which is like a baby, and Lilith grabbing it before it can even make a sound. So just to be a little bit more careful. This weekend, maybe it's more about cleansing, like was said, meditation, dreams, dance, movement, using your Mars to have fun in water, around water. It's a great time to really do some activity. Again, Mars and all that Aries energy around and in water. Because if you look at all the planets we have in Aries and Pisces, the last sign and the first sign, 60%. It's almost as if we're wearing our belt. We're putting the end and the beginning together. But the main focus is to look towards the future because Aries is about I am and it's about the future. It's not about the past. And if we look at a little bit at Sunday, March 24, it's the, for some places, it's already going to be the eclipse. It's the first eclipse of the year. And it is a lunar eclipse, a total lunar eclipse in Libra, which we talked about. It's a south node eclipse, which means that it's about letting go. Not only it's a full moon, which represents an end, but it's also that energy of the south node that wants to get rid of things and let go of things. So Mars in Pisces still, of course, the moon is going to be still in Virgo on Sunday. So on Monday, it can move into Libra and we can have our eclipse. So now let's look at a few things that are happening that I prepared for you. So first of all, yes, if you are here, I mean, where would you be? I mean, I'm talking about the planet. I'm doing, of course, on March 20th, we're going to do a special class for the equinox. We're going to do a meditation there as well as look at all of these cosmic or astrological cycles. It's been fascinating preparing the power presentation for you guys because I'm diving into a lot of biographies of kind of interesting people to see that not only we have Saturn return, first Saturn return at the age of 27 to 30, second Saturn return 56 to 60, third Saturn return 85, 88, 90. But after you die, I've noticed that your Saturn returns continue. It's a fascinating concept that we'll talk about. So that's what we're going to do on March 20th, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And there will be a recording if you register. And then we're going to have in person in L.A. two classes, one for the year of 2024 on Saturday, April 20th, 5:30, and one for embodying emoting astrology. It's the first time I'm doing it. So let's see how it goes. And that's going to be in person April 30th through Den Meditation. But you have it in the chat or in Instagram. You have all of the information. So happy equinox and eclipse. So this year, this week, we definitely have quite a lot of action. I mean, this week I'm talking about from Sunday to next Monday. So first of all, equinox. The equinox happening on March 20th. It doesn't matter if you're in the south of the equator or north of the equator. This whole planet is going through a celebration of balance. That's how we should look at the equinox. Equi, equal, nox, night. There's something about the day and the night that are equal. And that tells us that masculine and feminine energy are in perfect harmony. It's a yin-yang situation where we can act and process that action. Be understanding where we're going, but also understanding where we've been. It's a very powerful place because it's almost like it's telling us precisely to know where our location is and where our destination should be, which is what you basically need whenever you open Google Map or whatever map system you use. And that's super important because Aries is all about a call of action, to boldly go where no one has gone before. Okay, that sounds like a very interesting destination, but at least I know where I am, because you cannot go on a journey without knowing who you are and where you are. And that's precisely what the I am of Aries is all about. In fact, one of the mantras that you can use for this next 30 days is the Hebrew word hineni. He, H-I-N-E-N-I, hineni. He, like he. Ne, like, you know, Russian says ne. No, they say niet. Ne. Ne, like necropolis. And ni, like ni. There's a lot of words in ni in Hebrew. Can't think about a word in English. Ni something. So hineni basically is not only telling you here you are, but it's also asserting your identity. For example, when Adam and Eve took from the tree of knowledge good and evil, part of the thing is they went having sex on the side and hiding from God. So when God woke up from his siesta, the first thing he says is, Adam, Adam, where are you? Nothing, no answer. Then he says again. And then Adam comes out of the bushes and says, hineni. Okay, here I am. And not only here I am. I ate from the tree of knowledge. She did it. He did it. Blah, blah, blah. It's not only your identity, but completely where you are, your image, your wholeness, in a sense. So one of the things you can practice is working with the word hineni, which comes from the idea of I am here. And that's very much in Aries. Now, the thing about this equinox is that it's interesting because it's happening in a leap year. This is the Jewish leap year. And what it basically means is that the calendar in Judaism, in Kabbalah also, is 13 month in a sense, because there's 13 lunar months in a year. The same thing happens with the Ramadan. Ramadan travels around the year because it's the ninth moon of the lunar calendar. So because it's lunar calendar, it's only 28, 29 days. And therefore what happens, it's 11 days shorter than the solar. So it's constantly moving around the seasons. That's what happens when you stick to the moon as your calendar, like the Ottoman Empire did, for example, because it was a Muslim empire. And of course, that's what caused its fall. We talked about it many times here, because the bureaucrats were paid according to the moon. Every 28 months, I get paid. But the taxes to the country or to the state or to the nation only arrives according to the seasons, because you can't tell the trees to give you apples according to the moon, because it goes according to the sun, meaning that in the spring it gives the fruit, or in the winter, this depends on the plant or what it is. So therefore, you can't really tax people monthly. You can tax them according to the seasons. So, of course, 11 days every year doesn't sound to be too bad. You're a bureaucrat. You got 11 days work for free. But after 10 years, of course, it's almost like a third of a year. So that's a big deal. And therefore, that's why the Ramadan, for example, is celebrated right now. And a few years ago, it was in the summer. What the Jewish calendar does is every 4 years or so, it adds another month. Right? 11 days times 3. So every 4 year, we have a leap year. We have two Adar. Adar is one of the months in the Jewish calendar. But anyway, because of all of this mess, this year, we didn't celebrate, last year, I mean, 2023, we didn't celebrate Rosh Hashanah, or the Jewish New Year, in New Moon in Libra, as it's supposed to be, as it is written in the Bible, on the seventh month, the first day, meaning the new moon on the seventh month, which is Libra, right? Because the Bible starts in Aries, like the Sumerian, like the Babylonian. So we didn't celebrate it then, we celebrated in Virgo. And now what's happening is that we're not going to celebrate Passover, the day of emerging out of slavery. We're not going to celebrate it on the time we're supposed to during Aries. We're going to celebrate it during Taurus. So that doesn't fit. It's going to be April 22nd. It's kind of funny, because celebrating Passover on Taurus, it's almost like celebrating with a golden calf, because Moses went up and we don't really know where the crazy Aries is and if he's going to come back. So it's kind of a weird thing to celebrate Passover during Taurus, but it happens this year. The good thing about the equinox is it's very close to the eclipse, because remember, the eclipses quicken process, push things forward much faster. So that's why having the eclipse so close to the equinox is taking whatever you're doing in an equinox, and I told you equinox this year would be a great time to start something new, or to reboot your New Year resolution, to decide that you want to work on something on your astrological year. So that's going to be until next March 20th. So think about something that you need now in the next year and give it a push on March 20th, knowing that March 24, the eclipse is going to give it a big boost. You're literally going to feel, if you chose the right wish to work on the equinox, you're going to find the eclipse pushing it forward in a much stronger way. The Sabian symbol of the eclipse is an ideal, the ideals of a man abundantly crystallized. A man. I mean, for me, a man automatically means young. Young means automatically a masculine energy that pushes forward. Doesn't necessarily mean a gender of man or woman. It could be the ideals of a woman that has to do with pushing things forward, conquering new grounds, is abundantly crystallized. So whenever you see in the systems of symbolism, a man, a woman, it doesn't necessarily mean, okay, I'm a woman, I don't have to listen to it, or, oh, why is this all about men? And by the way, the person that came with Sabian symbol is a woman. So the ideals, meaning the highest manifestation of what masculinity can give us, is abundantly clear. That's how I see the interpretation of the Sabian symbol, which happens to be during Aries and on an eclipse. The key concept for the eclipse will be liberation, you know, not only on a global level, and I hope that it can liberate Gaza, that can liberate the Middle East from war, that it can liberate Ukraine, that it can do something to liberate anybody who is under bondage, or liberate the poor people in Sudan, liberate the women that were kidnapped, the schoolgirls that were kidnapped in Nigeria. Liberate ourselves, basically, from ourselves. So liberation, end of bondage. It's a great time for reflections on identity, balancing personal needs with those of your partner's need. Because remember, the eclipse is all about Libra and Aries. I am versus we are. So the eclipse pass will be, the eclipse path will be West and Central Europe, North Asia. Let me just show you the map. It will be easier. So we'll see that the eclipse is not visible east of, let's say, Norway, Denmark, Berlin, Italy, go down to Libya, South Africa. So think about the map like that. From there all the way up to China, it's not visible. So it's not so much about that part of the world. It's going to be more about United States for some reasons, because all of America, the South, the Central, and North, Central, and South are all covered by the eclipse. And when you can see the eclipse is actually happening in the Pacific Ocean. When you see the eclipse, you're influenced by it much, much more. So one of the things that I would recommend as a fun exercise for you guys is to maybe work a little bit with your draconic chart. And draconic chart is cast so that the north node falls on 00 degrees Aries. So if your north node is in Aries anyway, like mine, for example, you can check it on your chart, then it doesn't make so much of a difference, because the way they build this chart is whatever the degrees of your planet is. Let's say your sun is 29 degrees Taurus, whatever. They deduct from it your north node and move it so that the north node can become 00 degrees Aries. So if you pull out your chart, your draconic chart, and your friend did, you'll see that the only thing common is the fact that the north node falls 00 degrees Aries. So what it does, it changes the chart. It kind of like moves the chart around like a clock so that artificially, whenever you're born, wherever you're born, the north node will move from where it is to 0 degrees Aries, because I told you 0 degrees Aries is like the mark of the gods. So it's like the most important moment. And that's interesting, because even in Kabbalah, the letter He in Hebrew that is associated with God is also the letter that, according to the Book of Creation, is associated with Aries. So you just click on, if you go to horoscope.astro-sig.com, and then you look under the option of horoscopes, you can go down to Draconic Astrology Calculator, and then you basically put your date of birth, information, birth city, and you will get your draconic chart. The draconic chart, you can look at it as the chart of your soul, or at least how your soul manifests or what she wants in this lifetime. So you might see suddenly that your soul does not care so much about money, even though you do. Or you actually might see the opposite. You're this yogi, you're this free-flowing person, doesn't believe in finance. Suddenly you see, oh my God, my soul has the sun and moon and Venus in the house of money. Well, my soul wants to make money out of my talents, forget the hippie, start working. You know. So what I'm saying is that it's going to be interesting to see what is your soul desires from you. And the best time to look into it is during the equinox, because literally the sun moves on top of your north node of the draconic chart for everybody on the planet on this Wednesday, and it lights up your chart. So that's why it's such an important moment for the Babylonian and for the Sumerian, because something brightens up your soul. It's almost like the first degree of Aries is when you see your soul more clearly, or your soul sees you more clearly. So I hope it makes sense, and I hope I'm going to see you in one of the workshops. I'm wishing you a beautiful week of an amazing conjunction, a conjunction that can help all of you and help. Happy solstice, sorry, equinox, and a great year, a great astrological year. So happy new year, and I hope to see you on Wednesday.